Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:07 p.m. and that is Pacific Ordinary Time. We've just gone through daylight savings, and it's nice to be getting up with a little bit of sunshine. Well, today was particularly eventful, most particularly in the energy markets, with oil prices up over $2. And when we look at that on the weekly basis, we can very clearly see that there has been a very impressive breakout in terms of Brent crude, that it has taken out the $60 level. It's currently at 64, and it is surging higher. And part of the reason for that is because of what happened in Saudi Arabia. And the way that I've written about it today, and I've written about it previously, but it's to consider what's going on in Saudi Arabia from the perspective of a feudal kingdom, because that is in fact what it is. That we can't expect the kind of actions from a feudal kingdom like we would from a constitutional democracy, because it simply doesn't exist there. And one of the most clear and overriding systems within feudalism is that aristocrats have a position of privilege for the vast majority of time, but when there is a foreign or domestic threat to the realm, then their loyalty, their fealty, is demanded for to help protect the status quo. If they fess up what is required, then they hold on to their position. They may even come out of it with an improved position if the threat is overcome. But of course, history is littered with the forgotten names of aristocrats that did not pay their fealty to the crown, and they're largely excised from the roll books, and their properties are confiscated, and they lose their position, and that is what could now be happening in Saudi Arabia. So it really would behoove those people that are lodged in the Ritz-Carlton in Riyadh right now to remember their history. Now there is an important aspect to this, that oil prices breaking above $60 and running higher, and that raises the specter of a surge in oil prices. Certainly, we're not there yet. This is simply a breakout, and there is ample potential for additional upside here, and eventually there will be a supply response, most particularly from onshore unconventional supply in the USA. And of course, some of those more expensive regions are going to rapidly come into an economical zone as prices rally beyond $60. It has been a bit of a psychological Rubicon for over 2 years, and now it has been taken out. We have additional upside. Something that I have made a point of emphasizing on repeated videos has been that when we look at the high yield sector, our high yield spreads have been rather clement. They've been making new lows, and they're currently at about 300 basis points. Certainly not surging higher. No evidence of them pushing higher. Unemployment is still very low, and is we're at a position of full employment in the U.S. and that European unemployment figures continue to improve. Generally speaking, it's when unemployment starts to turn upwards that's also a lead indicator for a recession, and we don't have that either. But then you look at the yield curve, and it is still positive, and it's about 70 basis points. It's trending lower. Eventually, it will become inverted, but not yet. So the one other thing that has been a lead indicator for recessions previously have been surging oil prices, and well, they're surging right now. But they're still coming off relatively modest levels, so they don't represent a clear and present danger to the stock market expansion such as it is at the present moment. But this is a situation that is really worth monitoring, because Saudi Arabia is fighting a war on three fronts, and this isn't news. This has been going on for 3 years already, and they haven't got much to show for it. That's perhaps one of the clear takeaways. They've been fighting in Yemen, Syria, and Iraq, and against a number of different foes, and they've lost. That the Syrian government is still in place. Certainly the ISIS has been perhaps not, I think vanquished is the wrong word, but they've certainly been defeated in Syria. And they were Sunni fighters. Quite whether it would be correct to say that they were gaining support from Saudi Arabia is, I think, going to be open to quite a bit of discussion. But I think there's no contradiction in the belief that they were Sunni fighters. And when we look at the potential here, it's that Saudi Arabia is going to have to double down on its wars because it hasn't got anything to show for it, and it really it's a vital objective of their administration to avoid Iranian encirclement, and so far they're not doing particularly well at preventing that. So when you start to think about what's going on in terms of the political environment in Saudi Arabia and look at it from a feudal perspective, then this is very much a war for not only the country's identity but its existence. And that would suggest that we cannot discount the potential for the situation to deteriorate, that both within and without Saudi Arabia, things could get rather hairy. And that could contribute to higher oil prices, which would represent a headwind. And not least, I saw that just over the weekend, gasoline prices in California, for example, have popped on the upside because they added 13 cents to the tax per gallon. And that is going to represent sticker shock to a lot of consumers. If oil prices continue to rally higher, then on top of taxation, then you're going to have higher gasoline as well. So this is something that I think is worth monitoring. It's not we're not signaling, it's not a red flashing light on the warning system just yet, but if we were to see oil prices pushing back up towards $100, then that would start to become a problem. Now, the S&P 500 moved to a new high in here today. It's still within the context of really quite a consistent advance. The VIX index was a little bit steadier, but it's still trading well below 10, actually less than 9.5 in here. And this remains a very low volatility environment. When we look at global stock markets, then the majority were relatively unchanged. Wall Street was up, but not in a dynamic fashion. Europe was down, but again, not in a dynamic fashion. And the Nikkei was pretty much unchanged. What I think is worth spending some time on is looking at some of the not only the oil-related sectors, but also the broader commodity. The broader commodity sector generally. So, for example, the FTSE 350 oil and gas producers index is at a rather interesting level. It has been ranging in an incredibly volatile manner for much of the last decade, and it is now closing in once more on that psychological 9,000 level where it has retreated on multiple occasions previously. Now, it is short-term overbought, but a clear downward dynamic would now be required to confirm resistance in this area. And perhaps we do get some pause of consolidation. But the fact that it has got all the way up to these highs against a background where oil prices are not at all-time highs would suggest that if we do get some additional upside in oil prices, that this could be a breakout from what has been a very long-term range. And Royal Dutch Shell pretty much epitomizes the performance of the index, and as it comes back up towards the upper side of what is a really quite a lengthy range. And if we look at that on the long-term chart, we can see just how long Royal Dutch Shell has been ranging for, and also, of course, that it has been subject to some quite profound volatility over that time. Then, when we look at the U.S. energy sector, then it had been consolidating in the region of the trend mean, and it popped on the upside in here today. That's a clear breakout from this short-term range, and a countermanding downward dynamic would require to question potential for additional upside when we look at that. Now, the Australian ASX 200 has been ranging for a fair amount of time. It has broken up out of that very inert period that it spent more than half of this year in, and now it's testing this 6,000 area, which has been an area of resistance both earlier this year and in 2015. And doesn't look like anything other than a short-term consolidation prior to it breaking up and away from this area. The relative strength of the energy sector, coupled with a return to form for the industrial metals, and I think what is turning into more than a short-term bounce for some of the precious metals, is now starting to feed through into the continuous commodity index, which has cleared the region of the trend mean and is pushing back up towards this congestion area that's been developing now for almost a year and a half already. If we look at the gold price, then gold has bounced from that $1,250 area and in a reasonably dynamic manner in here today. So this is the third time that it has rallied from around that $1,260 area. And as long as it is doing that, and most particularly if it can do it 2 days in a row, then that would help to confirm that it's finding support in the region of the trend mean. It's paused around here for much of the last couple of months, but it needs to break the downward bias from that peak that we saw back just at the middle of September. And platinum prices have been in a much better defined range and are now firming from the lower side of that range. $1,000 represents an area of resistance. It will need to clear that level, but it has bounced from the lower side of this almost year-long range over the last couple of sessions. And if it can again sustain an advance for two consecutive days in a row, well, then that would begin to signal that we're getting more than just short-term steadying, and that we're getting demand coming back on a more sustained basis. But of course, it will have to clear that $1,000 level on a sustained basis to confirm a return to medium-term demand dominance. And copper prices were also in positive territory in here today. They've been pausing around that 320 cent level on the COMEX contract, but this continues to represent a recovery trajectory. And nickel prices have, and nickel is has been the forgotten industrial metal for much of the last couple of years, but it has returned to outperformance. That was a very clear upward dynamic that we saw last week, and it was able to post some additional upside in here today. And of course, it is a vital commodity in terms of the development of lithium-ion batteries. So then that represents a new demand sector for the metal. There is going to be a, if we do in fact get additional upside on oil prices, then that will act as an additional incentive for the renewable energy sector. And renewables have been they've been under pressure from the low oil price that we've had for the last few years. If oil prices are rallying, that removes a headwind from the renewable energy sector. If we look at, for example, just an ETF of solar shares, then it has been trending lower for a couple of years already, and we really should look at it on a logarithmic scale chart if we're going to look at it on a weekly basis, because it is so very low. But what we can also see that from the middle of this year, it's been trending higher, that the medium-term downward bias has been broken, and it was up an additional, it was, I think, breaking higher again in here today. So I think the renewable energy sector has got potential to outperform against much of the rest of the energy sector, because it is coming off such very depressed levels. And that's equally true of some of the pure shale plays. So for example, Southwestern has been ranging around $5, or just above $5, since about June. And now it is trading around 620. When we look at that on the weekly chart, we can see just how depressed it had become, that it was subject to some pretty profound selling as oil prices had failed to recover. This represents a company that was not making a great deal of money below $60, but has the potential to make money above $60. So it is a potential, I think, probably short-term catch-up potential, because obviously it would have to do an awful lot of hedging at prices above 60 to lock in those prices in terms of its performance. But it does look increasingly likely that the $5 area is going to hold. When we look at the a couple of more of these commodity-related markets, then South Africa has continued to extend its advance up and away from this range. And of course, part of the reason that it had sustained the range was because of the weakness of the rand. But also, it's worth highlighting that the rand had, well, a better way to say it is that the dollar had broken its downtrend. But now the question is, with commodity prices improving once more, whether the dollar is going to hold that break above the trend mean. And I think that will be a rather big question. Then if we look at Brazil, it has done really quite well and is a bit overbought in the short term, and we're getting some consolidation, but perhaps the most important thing that it's done is sustain this move above 70,000, and that is a better performance than it was able to do, at least in nominal terms, since the end of the commodity bull market. And it when we look again at the currency, because part of the reason that it's been able to do that is because the currency had been very weak, and again now, with commodity prices improving, we're getting the real firming up once more, and firming up from an area of previous support. So when we look at it in those terms, there is the potential here for some of the commodity-related currencies to do better than the US dollar. And the Latin American dollar index is, I think, an indication of that. It's primarily dominated by the real and the Mexican peso, but it has been largely range-bound for much of the last couple of years, and that range has base formation characteristics. A sustained move up and away from the 67 area would begin to confirm that we're back in a period of demand dominance. And if commodity markets are going to continue to recover, and there is certainly the potential for that, and in fact, that would be the base case. That's usually what we would anticipate from a period of global economic expansion, where growth is picking up and demand for commodities is improving against a background where there hasn't been any investment in additional supply because prices have been so low. So then you get a supply inelasticity meets rising demand market. And that is generally benign for commodity-related currencies. And if oil prices continue to advance, then that will likely add an additional source of demand for that market. And when I think we look at some of the markets that are rather large energy importers, then Japan is, well, has rallied pretty spectacularly since early September, tacking on over 23, or excuse me, 3,500 points, and it is a little bit overbought in the short term. Nevertheless, this has been an emphatic breakout, and as long as it is sustaining the move above 20,000, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. But it is increasingly likely that we're going to get at least some form of consolidation. And of course, India is also a major importer of energy, and the Nifty was in mildly negative territory in here today. It has also experienced a pretty impressive breakout over the last couple of weeks following the recapitalization of the state-owned banks. And as long as it is trading above the trend mean, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. But it could have some, we could have some consolidation coming in there as well. And When we look at the dollar index, then it has almost closed its overextension relative to the trend mean. And this now is the big question, whether it is going to be able to sustain a move back above it. If it can do that, it will confirm the failed downside break, and it would signal that at least a run back up towards 100 would be the base case, but not until it can sustain a move above the trend mean. And obviously, its largest constituent is the euro, and the euro has come right back to test the upper side of the underlying range. It's unwound its most of its over extension relative to the trend mean. This is a natural area where support could begin to be found once more. So I think that what happens in the next couple of weeks is going to give us a lot of intelligence about what we can expect from the dollar and indeed the euro for the next 3 or 4 months. And the pound found some support in here today. It hasn't quite unwound that clear downward dynamic that we had on Thursday, but it continues to hold the region of the trend mean, and as long as it is doing that, then this will remain, I think recovery will remain the base case in terms of the price action. And probably the Queen won't be particularly happy with the what has come out of the Paradise Papers, but the FTSE 100 is trading in the region of its peak for the year. There has been a distinct absence of downward dynamics. In fact, the stock market response to everything that has come out in those Paradise Papers has been distinctly muted because the vast majority of it is legal, and they're unlikely to have financial repercussions, although there will probably be some embarrassment on the behalf of a number of politicians. But when we look at the FTSE 100, it has continued to range in what has been a pretty steady consolidation following what was a very impressive breakout from what was a 17-year bear market. And at the AIM 100 index was up in additional territory in positive territory again in here today. It continues to benefit from the weakness of the currency and the continued benefit that represents for smaller companies and their efforts to expand both outside the UK into Europe and internationally. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.